At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. This week's guest, probably not a household name for a lot of you, but one of my favorite golf writers, Joy Chakravarti. I've known Joy for a long time from my time in Dubai. I think he's one of the best writers around. I like his view. I've always liked his worldview on world golf, on the DP World Tour, on Asia, on what's going on all around the world. And I think he brings a unique perspective because he has seen golf kind of on a global scale. He's seen all of the tours around the world, a lot of these tours from the developing nations. And listen, the holy grail has always been to get to the PGA Tour. That's where you knew that if you were a great player, you were not only going to play against the best players in the world, but that was where the money was. And, you know, we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about all the different things going on. We talk about, you know, what's going on with the PGA Tour, what's going on with LIV. But I got to catch up with him in Macau last week. I was there for the International Series. And, you know, he has a unique perspective on how we grow the game on a global scale. And I think that's what I hope is going to happen in the future, is that we are going to see golf become more global. We're going to see the greatest players in the game playing around the world, and that the fans around the world will get to see the best players in the world. So wanted to get Joy on and get his perspective. Like I said, he's one of my favorite writers, and I think everyone's going to enjoy listening to him. If you haven't heard from him before, he has some really good takes on what is going on in the game. So sit back and enjoy a really good interview. Joy, you and I have known each other a long time, and I certainly think you're one of the best golf journalists out there because you have so much more of a world view, and that's the reason why I kind of wanted to get you to come on and talk. You wrote a really interesting article last week about, obviously, LIV kind of pulling out of their bid to get world rankings, but you made an interesting argument that other tours should kind of follow suit, and maybe the world rankings in 2024 are, I don't know if they're dead, but it just doesn't seem like they are a very accurate way of looking at the tour or looking at the world of golf, unless you're specifically looking at the PGA Tour. Because more and more, it seems like it's almost they're the PGA Tour rankings as opposed to the world rankings.
You know, Claude, first of all, thank you for having me with you on the podcast. I really enjoy it a lot, whatever you do. Apart from doctoring the golf swing of so many people. But, you know, Claude, before I start, I must say I've had a great appreciation for what you have done. And I think that has only grown in the last 3 weeks because I saw you doubling up in pain and sitting in the hotel room in Jeddah. And you told me that you have to go through an MRI scan for your back. And yet you were there every day, out on the course, walking around. I mean, man, that takes some doing.
It's part of the job. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, but But you, honestly, I mean, that takes a lot of commitment and dedication, you know, to your players, to your craft. And so I really honestly appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. but further to my point, you've been a part of global golf, right? And there are a lot of people listening that I think they are guilty at times at just seeing the PGA Tour and golf in America and from a professional standpoint as that is somewhat the end-all be-all. And part of, I think, what has made the fabric of professional golf over the last 25 to 30 years, Joy, has been, you know, the wider world. If you look at all of the great players that came out of the European Tour back in the day that started winning all of these majors, the fabric of professional golf is filled with players that just aren't from the U.S. and play on the PGA Tour, but yet, to a lot of people, it seems like everything in professional golf is, at the moment, revolving specifically around the PGA Tour.
Yeah. So that's the thing, Claude, and that's where the article came from. You know, the thing is that I can understand PGA Tour being one of the biggest tours in the world.
Listen, the PGA Tour is the benchmark. They always have been. If you talk to anybody in the last 30 years, the goal has been, if you're not playing in America, the goal was always top 50.
Yes.
Because you knew if you got inside the top 50 in the official world golf rankings, absolutely, you were going to get into all the majors. Then you were going to be eligible for the big invites from the likes of Bay Hill, from the likes of Memorial, yes, from the likes of the old Honda. You could get in there.
Yeah.
And it seems like right now, the way the world rankings are set up, the only way you can move up the world rankings right now is to basically play full-time on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, Ludvig Åberg, I mean, a fantastic talent, like an amazing, brilliant young talent. He's top 10 in the world. He's never played in a major. He's only been a pro for less than a year, and he's won one golf tournament in the wraparound at the RSM at the end of the year, where there aren't the best players playing. Now, that's not to take away from, I think he is a future global superstar. I mean, yeah, I think the kid is a stud.
Yeah.
Right? I think he has big time game. I think we are going to see his name for the next 10 to 15 years. I think we're going to see his name on leaderboards, on Sundays, on the back nine in major championships.
Yeah.
That's how good of a player he is. But when you have guys that are major champions in the, you know, you got to, I mean, Ludvig is higher ranked than Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
And Brooks has won four or five tournaments in the last 2 years. One of them is a major championship.
Yeah. So Ludvig is a great example of what the world golf has to offer. You know, if he's doing so well and wowing the fans on the PGA Tour, let's not forget his roots. He's not from the U.S. And there are so many other players like
Tom Kim. I had Choman Thad on my podcast a couple years ago, and we were talking about the rise of Tom. And what a great story, right? I mean, he is such a talent. He's got a smile that's incredibly infectious. I mean, I love being around him. But we won't see his story happen again. We won't see a kid be able to come from where he came from, go to the Asian Tour, play some Korean PGA stuff, then get to the DP World, and then somehow manage to get to the PGA. If you're not...
That's not happening.
That's not happening anymore. And that's what I don't think a lot of people realize is stories like Tom Kim. I think Tom's been one of the great stories in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But that won't happen again.
Yeah.
You won't see a player come from where he came from and rise the way he has risen. You just won't see it.
Yeah. So, Claude, just from where I come from, India, I mean, if I have to give you an example, look at Jeev Milkha Singh. You know, when he won all those events in Asia, on the DP World Tour or European Tour as it used to be, he got into the top 50 of the rankings. And he went into the majors, and there was so much buzz about golf in the country. I remember in 2006 to 2008, there were, you know, performances of Jeev which would upstage cricket from the back page of the newspaper, which is a huge thing in India.
Possible to do.
And you know, I mean, there are so many stories like Jeev floating around. I mean, look at that young kid, Denvit Boribunsub of Thailand, winning 3 tournaments, just 19 years of age. He is another Tom Kim in the making. But will he get to the PGA Tour now? Will he get to the majors? I have serious doubts, because even if he wins 5 tournaments this year, he will not get into the top 50 the way the world rankings are functioning right now.
Why do you think there has been a reluctance from the governing bodies in the world rankings with the world rankings? Because you've got the one side, you've got the people saying, listen, the people that signed up that went to live, they knew what they were getting into. They knew they weren't going to get any world ranking points. They only play 54 holes. There's no cuts. For all the reasons why everyone is against the world rankings making a change. But the charter of the world rankings is to rank the best players in the world.
Absolutely.
And I think there is an argument on the other side. Everybody says, listen, the guys that went to live, they knew they weren't going to get world rankings, so they can't complain, and they took the money. But I also think there is another argument to where it's the official world golf rankings job and in their charter to rank the best players.
Absolutely.
And what I can't figure out, Joey, is we've got this unbelievable talent, Ludvig Åberg, right? Gets on the PGA Tour, gets on the Ryder Cup, has his breakout, right? He came out of a system, the college system, right? Which is 54 holes. There's no cut. The coach basically picks the team every week. You can't call John Fields at the University of Texas or Conrad Ray at Stanford and say, listen, I'm a junior golfer. I want to qualify for the Stanford golf team.
Yeah.
He would say, well, no, we would have to recruit you
to
come play
for
Stanford. And then if you're really one of the best players, amateurs in the world, they basically give you a 4-year full scholarship and pay for your entire education. So by the time you get done going to Stanford for 4 years, that's upwards of over $200,000 to $300,000. They're paying you to go there.
Yeah.
So somehow, some way, the PGA Tour figured out a way to have someone that is basically only playing 54 holes events with no cut. They're limited fields. The coach kind of picks the team.
Yeah.
There's no pathway on or off. Somehow we figured out a way to make sure that the best person to come out of the U.S. college system gets a full, and every week on the U.S. college system, there's an individual winner.
Yeah.
There's a team winner.
Yeah.
Every single week. So they figured out a way to make sure the best players coming out of that system could get immediately on to the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Somehow they figured that out. But nobody can figure out a way to get live guys or change the world rankings to reflect where the game is today. And I thought John Rahm's comments last week, and I was blown away by Billy Horschel's comments this week about the eye test, that you can tell who the best players in the world are. So if you have guys like Billy Horschel saying you can tell who the best players in the world are, and maybe the Players' Championship should start letting in players that they're not letting in. You've got John Rahm saying, listen, everybody knows who the best players in the world are. Isn't it incumbent upon the official world golf ranks to say, okay, it's our job to rank the best players in the world in the game of golf, or is it just our job to rank the best players that are going to be playing on the biggest tour on the PGA Tour? And listen, the PGA Tour is the show. Nobody's arguing that, right? That is everybody's goal. That has always been everyone's goal. But everything in life changes. And you still remember that in the 80s, the official world golf rankings were set up by a management company, basically.
Yeah.
And once Nick Faldo, Sandy Lyle, Ian Woosnam, Bernhard, once these players started winning majors and started being global superstars, they had to come up with a way to try and incorporate all of this. Should that be happening now, regardless of what side you're on? And this is the other thing, Joey, that I don't get. Why do you have to choose? I think Jay Monahan, the one thing that, and I would say this to him if I saw him, that I think he's guilty of is he was the one that's saying, no, you have to choose between the PGA Tour or live or everything else. You have to make a stance and choose one.
Right.
Why do you have to choose that? I mean, you don't have to choose. You can watch golf, and I've been saying this. There's golf in Asia. There's golf in Europe. There's golf in all over the world now. You can choose to watch golf wherever you want to watch it.
And you know what? The argument about the OWGR, the charter with which they set up the world ranking system, I think if you just look at that and the way things are moving right now, you actually have a case of saying that something which is equally important to golf, which is the world amateur golf ranking, is actually based on, is not valid. You know, I mean, if you just look at what the OWGR is saying, as you rightly pointed out, these are based mostly on team events, which have got an individual, title to be won. And the world amateur golf ranking is the benchmark for the best amateurs in the world from where
if you're going,
are going
to play college golf, the official world golf rankings for juniors and amateurs is a way that college golf coaches are going to differentiate you, rank you, figure out which ones you're going to come. So everybody, WAGR is the way they do that, but that is closely aligned with the way that the official world golf rankings are. I guess the obvious question, Joy, is there a solution? And if there is, what do you feel like is a real equitable solution? Because as soon as there doesn't seem to be any wiggle room, you're either PGA Tour or you think there's a place for LIV. And I just don't get why it has to be like that.
See, I can't understand why LIV can't be given the ranking points. Are you trying to say that the 54 players who are among the best in the world are cheats that they are going to, take into consideration things like, oh, my team has to win, so maybe he's going to win the title, I'm not going to make a putt. These things are not happening, and you have been around all these tournaments. I've been to about 15 tournaments in the last 3 years. I see each and every player fighting for that individual title as well, and the great joy that the team championship brings at the end of it. Either you are saying that these 54 guys are liars, they don't have the integrity, which is not correct at all. And, so the way forward, I think, Claude, is that LIV should be given ranking points, is my belief. Whether it is 75% because they play a three-day tournament of the actual field rating size, that's one way to go forward. LIV has proved that it is financially stable. It has been going on for 2.5 years now. It has done everything that a golf tour needs to do. It has a promotions event. It has got telecast. I know how a smaller tour applies for OWGR recognition. And some of the things that the OWGR looks at is, are they financially stable? Are they doing enough? Is there a Q school? I was part of MENA Tour when it had applied for, the World Golf Ranking. And these were some of the things that were asked by the OWGR.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, for sure.
So why should those criteria change? So I think LIV should be given a ranking facility, whether it is from retrospective effect or not, that's another matter altogether. That's up for argument with them. I think they should be given with retrospective effect. But also, they've given this bonus points to the multiple winners of different tours if they win three or four tournaments in a year. I think it should be including the top five players, not to that extent that you give 40% points more, but the fifth place player should be given a little bit more extra point, because at the moment it is like 0.073 points for somebody who wins, say, comes fourth on an Indian PGA Tour event. What difference does it make? Don't give them the points. And that is the reason why, because if any of these smaller tour players, they have any aspirations to go and play on a bigger tour or to go to the PGA Tour, to go to the majors, OWGR is the only way out right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
A lot of the players that went to live, you know, are coming from the PGA Tour system, right? And so I think a lot of people look and they say, you know, money, 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 money. But you're from India. You have championed and reported on all of the various tours around the world. The only way any of those new entities survive is money.
Yeah.
The only way that golf grows, we're here in Macau this week. The only way golf grows in Asia is money.
Yeah.
That's why the PGA Tour wanted to partner and did the PGA Tour China to try and the influx of money through the international series and through the Asian Tour's partnership with LIV, they have gotten an influx of money to help try and promote the game in regions that are very, very different than PGA. You know, this tournament this week in Macau, I wish some of the guys from, you know, No Laying Up and the Barstool guys that are so pro PGA Tour and anti-lip, I wish they would come to tournaments like this and see that this is where golf is growing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many different nationalities do you think are playing this week here in Macau?
It's got to be
38.
Yeah.
38 different nationalities. And so when everybody talks about growing the game, we're not going to grow the game at Memorial. We're not going to grow the game at Riviera. The game gets grown by giving players from 38 different nationalities an opportunity to play. And, you know, I mean, what's first prize here this week? Less than 400,000?
Yeah.
I mean, you finished top 10 this week and you finished tied. You're not taking home a lot of money. There's no free dry cleaning and courtesy cars like there are here. And the reason why the PGA Tour is the juggernaut that it is money, is the investment from the sponsors. That's what I don't get about this whole argument where everybody's talking about money this and money that. I mean, Joy, you and I have known, and it's funny, since the advent of LIV, for those of us that have been around international golf and European, we're like, you guys do realize the dirty secret, European Tour for years and Asia was basically where you went if you were a major champion to cash out.
Yeah.
You went to the Middle East, you went to Asia because you know they would pay you massive appearance fees. I remember that year Jordan Spieth had that breakout year. Where did he go? All of a sudden, he's playing in Singapore.
Yeah.
Then the following week, he's playing in Abu Dhabi. Is he doing that out of the goodness of his heart? Oh, out of his heart? Hell no. He's doing that because they paid. And I know you don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. When Justin Thomas won a major, where was he? Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Why? Because they paid him.
Yeah.
And I think as a professional golfer and a professional athlete, if you're one of the best players in the world, if you're winning majors, that is the perk.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The tournament in Germany, Porsche, why are they getting American players to come there? because they're letting them design their own Porsches and ship them back to the United States. They're not going over there for any other reason. They're not going because they want to play golf in Germany the week after the U.S. Open. They're going because a corporation gets a jet, flies it to wherever they're playing at the U.S. Open, and then all the guys that are going to go play this tournament in Europe, and they're all getting paid to go there, they all get on the corporate jet. Now, you and I have watched that. How long has that been going on? 20 years? 25 years?
More than that.
More than that.
I think Seve was the first one who really demanded that. See, the thing is, if you're good at something, you need to be paid. I mean, if I am a good writer, and if you ask me to just do it for free, is it proper? Is that fair? It is not. I've worked hard for my craft, and these players have worked their asses off.
Rory McIlroy deserves every single dollar he makes on the golf course and every single dollar he makes off the golf course. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler is on a run like we have not seen.
Yeah.
However much money he makes for the tournaments he wins, he deserves it because he's such a great player. And Joy, you and I both know as well, you play well, money is a big part of that. And you know more than anybody, coming from not a big golf nation, the holy grail is to get to the United States so you can make a living, so you can make real money.
I mean,
if you look at the guys that have gone over, I mean, there are a lot of players that once they got to the U.S. and played in the U.S., the financial rewards of playing in the U.S. were just so much greater than they were from any of the other places that you could possibly. And that's also why a large majority of the international players, once they make it on the PGA Tour, where do they all move to? Move to the U.S.
Yeah.
That's where they move because,
exactly.
And we've always known that's where the money is.
Yeah.
If you want to be a superstar in global golf, the money is making it to the PGA Tour.
The
trophies and the legacy are good. Absolutely. Yeah. But the real reason why people are going there is because the purses are more.
Absolutely. If you are not rewarded that way, why would you? I was having an interesting conversation with Eugenio about a couple of years ago, Eugenio Chacara, and there was one comment that really stood out for me. He said that when he was offered the LIV to play on LIV, and he told his dad, and he said that if I had told my dad that I'm not going to go to LIV, my dad would have slapped me then and there.
Said, you're crazy not to take this financial opportunity.
And it has opened so many doors for the college players. I mean, everything that the PGA Tour is now doing.
The PGA Tour U is a reaction.
Yeah, it's after that.
And Joey, you've also known, like all of us involved in professional golf, the eye test. PGA Tour U should have happened 15 years ago. The players were good enough 15 years ago. We were seeing these players come through with no fear.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until... And so all of the negative stuff that I hear a lot of people talk about with regards to LIV coming into professional golf, one of the positive things is it forced the PGA Tour to look at the universities and go, we have to find a way to give these great players a pathway directly to the PGA Tour.
I think that's one of the best things to come out of it. I mean, otherwise, you had to be like massively talented and to get into the PGA Tour the very next year. If somebody like Eugenio, who's such an amazing talent, or David Pugh, if they had to wait a couple of years just to try to get into a good tour, how bad that would be for world golf, you know? Mm-hmm. That somebody like that has to just struggle.
I think it's really interesting, you know, we like in golf this story of struggle. You know, we love hearing stories that, you know, this Jake Napkin, he was a bouncer 2 years ago. He had to go get a job as a bouncer because he couldn't continue to afford to try and play competitive professional golf. We don't hear that story in any other professional sport. We don't, like, in America, there's nobody playing in the NFL who's also an Uber driver, who's got a second job.
We have Barry Henson over here.
But you know what I mean? There is nobody currently playing in the English Premiership. There are no Formula One drivers. There's no one playing on the England national cricket team. There's no one playing on the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team, that has another job.
Yeah.
They are paid professional athletes. But in golf, there is this want for struggle. We want to see guys struggle. And I just don't get where that comes from, because there's no other walk of life other than professional tennis, I think, is the only thing that's similar. But why do you think it is that we want golfers to struggle so much?
One part of it is probably inspiration and motivation. Everyone looks for a story where, you know, you can tell that, okay, he was son of a greenskeeper and he has become what he is now. I mean, it's always a great story. So that is definitely a part of it. But I mean, you're right in the sense that we don't talk. Okay, I mean, like, if I take the example of cricket, I mean, there are obviously, you know, players like, for example, one of our players who did really well against England in the ongoing test series, he comes from a very poor family. He stayed on the streets in Mumbai. Those are all very inspirational stories. But will we be talking in the same breath and the same stories about 10 years from now when he's an established member of the team? I don't think so. Yeah.
And, you know, there's also this big thing with the PGA Tour, that there's this narrative that all the people that left the PGA Tour for LIV, everybody says, how could you possibly turn your back on the platform that gave you all of these things? Yet nobody has any problem with basically, over the last 25 years, the majority of the European Ryder Cup team, where do they all live? They live in the U.S. Where do they all play their golf? They play. Think about the tournaments that the guys that support Europe go back for. They go back for co-sanctioned events now. They're not. John Rahm's the only one. John Rahm is the only guy. I mean, Rory McIlroy didn't even play the Irish Open, right?
Yeah.
Right? He moved to America and basically played almost the majority of golf. Listen, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have any problem with that. But this thing that all the guys that left the PGA Tour and went to LIV, everybody goes, how could you turn your back
to the platform,
on the tour and the platform that gave your start? Luke Donald lives in America. He left Europe so fast. Like, everybody left.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that, because the PGA Tour was the only thing in town. It was the show.
Yeah.
Right? I asked Victor Hovland this year, how many real European Tour events will you play in 2024? Not Wentworth, not Scotland, not the club, any of the real European. He said,
made,
I won't play
in
any
Denmark,
of them.
Maybe.
I won't play. And if you look now, you can win DP World now. You can win the Race for Dubai and play all the majors, play the big events, play one of the big events in the Middle East, and then play the co-sanctioned PGA Tour events once, and never really play any European Tour events and win the Order of Merit. We see that every year.
Every year. I mean, there are so many tournaments on the DP World Tour which the field, you would really want it to be better. I mean, some of the sponsors, because most of the stars, they just go out to and I mean, Ryan Fox, Minwoo Lee, these guys have got an opportunity. They will go and play over there. They were the big stars of last year. And talking about platform, one thing that I'm very clear of, Claude, is that the tours are not the platform that, you know, makes up the player. For me, the platform is mom, dad, brothers and sisters. If they don't give you that kind of support growing up, if they don't financially support you, when the player becomes a player, it's only that family and the nearby relatives or the first coach who has done all the hard work. That is the platform. If the PGA Tour says that you are showing us your back now that we have established you, that's wrong, because they are not the ones. The coaches, the early coaches, and the parents, I think they are the platform. And if by coming to LIV or going to the PGA Tour, you can make them happier and financially well off, why not?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279. Or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at zerofoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
It seems to me like anybody that left a PGA Tour is turning their back on this platform that gave them their start, and they should be loyal to that. But I haven't seen anybody really be 100% loyal to the Asian Tour or the DP World Tour once they had... I mean, I talked to Matthew Pavon. I said, Matthew... One of the guys, one of the 10 guys now that got a full PGA Tour card on the PGA Tour this year. He played in Europe his whole career. He won Torrey Pines this year. I asked Matthew the same thing. How many real European Tour events will you play this year? And he said, none. He's going to focus on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But nobody looks at Matthew Pavon and says, how could you turn your back on the platform that everything the European Tour did for you?
No.
And here's the other thing. All we've listened to for the last 3 years is talk about money, 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 and everybody saying it's not about money, it's not about money, it's about trophies, it's about legacy, it's not about money. But the European Tour is no longer the European Tour. The European Tour is known as the DP World Tour. They have a corporate sponsor, but it's not about money.
Yeah.
But the European Tour is no longer the European Tour, it's the DP World Tour, because they had to go find a sponsor before the PGA Tour came to bail them out. This special relationship and this agreement between DP World and the PGA Tour, now the 10 best players every year are going straight from Europe to the PGA Tour, but yet there's this big... certain people get really upset if you say, well, basically the European Tour has just become a feeder tour to the PGA Tour. But doesn't it seem like that is what's happening?
It is. And you know, it has happened whenever a player gets better. I mean, like Nick Faldo went to the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy went to the PGA Tour. You always tend to gravitate where you think your best life is, your best competition is. You always go towards that. What is happening right now is that the only problem I have, the pathways are good. I mean, 10 cards is an amazing thing for a DP World Tour player. If somebody like my countrymate, Shubhankar, gets a card to the PGA Tour, I'll be delighted for him. He'll be delighted for himself and his family. You know, but the thing is that they still have to figure out a way how to make, apart from the few Rolex Series events, how to make the other tournaments more stronger.
On the DP World.
Yes.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I mean, for example, last year we had the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship, and there were only two players in the top 50 who were playing that week, Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood, or top 30, I would say. And that forced a major change, so much so that, you know, the tournament is now towards the back end of the season.
Yep.
No, so...
Well, the running joke, at any time you went to Dubai, any time you went to Abu Dhabi, any time you went to Qatar, the running joke was the 5 to 6 players that were paid to go there were getting paid more than the prize fund. If you look at Abu Dhabi and Dubai over the last 20 years, and you look at the prize fund, but you look at the superstars, the global superstars that played one over there from the PGA Tour, anybody that thinks they're going over there to win $300,000, fly 15 hours, just out of the goodness of their own heart, they're all going over there because they're getting paid. And then the other dirty little secret that nobody talks about is, if you were a young player beforehand, before PGA Tour you signed with a management company, and one of the reasons you signed with that management company is they'd say, listen, we've got big stars that are going to be playing. We can use our influence to get you in. So the bigger players they've got, they can use those. So this idea that everybody just gets it everywhere off of hard work and all of this stuff, I think Liv coming on to the scene is kind of somewhat pulled the curtain back a little bit of how the sausage is made, but we all kind of know how the sausage has been made, and it's not necessarily sometimes the prettiest business. I mean, you've seen it as someone that has traveled all over the world. You travel to regular PGA Tour events, you travel to majors, you travel to a number of tournaments. The tours, the average golf fan, I don't think wants maybe sometimes to know how all of this is run.
Yeah. Well, that's true. See, there is always, to get a superstar to a tournament, I mean, one incident that I will never forget is when Tiger went to the Middle East for the first time and played the Dubai Desert Classic. And he had that iconic photo shoot over Burj Al Arab. Yep. You know, he was paid tons of money for that. But the kind of return on investment that he gave that week with those pictures on the front page of New York Times, on the front page of Washington Post. I mean, the money being paid, making sense, is what has to be the benchmark for every investment of yours. Many of these players, when Phil went to Abu Dhabi for the first time, I mean, there were reams and reams of papers dedicated to Phil and how he is, you know, the magician with the short game and things like that. There were so many articles in the Middle East about him and other parts of the world as well. It makes sense. But yes, money is the driving factor.
Absolutely. Jay Monahan, it would seem, came out of hiding this week. Have you been surprised, Joy, with everything that's going on in professional golf currently? That I think this is, what, the third time we've seen Jay in front of a microphone since the U.S. Open, since he was in front of a microphone with Yasser from the PIF. Are you surprised, given where global golf is, where professional golf is, that we haven't seen Jay more often?
As the head of the PGA Tour, and given that the most talked about thing right now is the PGA Tour and the PIF investment into it, and the fact that everyone who is interested in golf and interested in the PGA Tour and LIV Golf wants to know when this investment is going to happen and things like that. He needs to be, and since he initiated the entire thing and the June 6 talks that we had, he should be more in the forefront. And I'm surprised many of the players actually don't know what's going on.
I continue to be surprised that when we do now, I mean, listen, we see at home, I live in Jupiter, Florida, we see players all the time, right? Yeah. Over the last 3 years, I have been shocked at how little everybody that's on the PGA Tour knows about what's going on. I've just been shocked. I mean, you ask them questions like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, Jay didn't really say much this week. Now, there is an argument to be made. I mean, they say the sheer art of diplomacy is to basically speak and say nothing. That's half the art of diplomacy. And I think Jay's doing a great job at that. If you were on the PGA Tour, would he have your confidence? Would he be someone that you think, okay, if I look at what happened over the last 3 years, is he the guy to lead us out of this? Are you surprised? I think there are a lot of people surprised that he still has a job, given the way everything was going. Are you surprised that he still has the confidence of the players? And are you surprised that he's still in the role that he's in? Because, listen, this is not COVID, live. I mean, Jay is, he's had it pretty tough. I mean, it has been a tough go.
Yeah.
That is also why he makes over $10 million a year and flies everywhere on a private jet. Because if you're making $100,000 a year, you don't have to make decisions like that.
The crown.
So when you have to make big decisions like Jay has to make, like a Fortune 500 CEO of a massive company, they're difficult decisions to make. They're hard to make. But that's why you get paid the money you get paid to make those decisions.
Yeah. Just digressing a bit before I answer that. You know, the one thing that being with the many of the LIV golf players, one thing that really pleases me is everyone says that if they have got a suggestion or, you know, if they want to say something to Greg, that it be implemented, starting with, say, the trousers. If you want wear your shorts, you are allowed to wear it. One thing that they have always said is that Greg is always willing to listen to the players and communicates to the players whatever he knows at that time. I think that is completely missing on the PGA Tour. It's I know it's a large organization and things like that. But if you are heading that organization, you got to have the trust of the players who are all your members. And I think that is something that Jay had maybe 2 years ago, but he completely lost it in the last 2 years. So many of the players are still struggling, at least some of them whom I've spoken to really give their 100% trust back to Jay. Even if the merger happens or even if the PIF investment happens, I think there will still be a question mark over how Jay went about his job in getting it done.
So where do you think all this plays out? I mean, I don't think anybody knows, and I think that's the big question, right? I mean, where are we, in your opinion, where do you think we are in 2025? And what do you think the professional golf landscape looks like? And it's a question, Joy, that I'm asking everybody, because nobody knows, right? Everything's just a guess. Everything's just kind of your experience. But in your opinion, where do you see happening in 2025?
So the best case scenario, or what I would really like to see, is that I don't want a unification or anything like that, but there is a good working relationship between PGA Tour and LIV Golf Tour. And if that means giving invitation to some of the players to the Players Championship, or finding a way that couple of the wild cards are given to the PGA Tour players who want to come and play on the LIV Golf, that happens. You know, having said that, my issue is that from June 6 to December 31, there was a huge time frame for the framework agreement to be fructified.
Yeah, finalized and implemented.
And done. If it has not happened up until now, and now we are looking at another long gap till the Tour Championship, I really don't think it will happen. You know, I think there are forces, not sure about it, but there are forces which are against. And now that they have got some kind of support from SSG well, so there are forces which are saying that, do we need to go that way? So it might just not happen.
I've never heard the fans be talked more about, and I never heard the product be talked about. I mean, you've been around Perfector. Did you ever hear anybody talk about the product? Nobody talked about the product and the type of product we were putting out and the type of product professional golf was putting out. I mean, nobody talked about the product 5 years ago. And to be honest with you, I didn't hear anybody in global golf from the PGA Tour, from DP World Tour, Asia, before LIV, nobody talked about the fans. Nobody talked about what the fans wanted. The tours and the majors just basically did what they wanted, ran the tournaments however they wanted, and nobody talked about the product. Now, all anybody talks about, in my opinion, on the PGA Tour, is they just talk about the product all the time. And I'm wondering where this talk of the product came from.
I honestly believe it has come from Liv, you know, because I'm probably one of the few journalists who has been to 10, 12, at least 13 of the Liv events. And one thing that I've noticed is that every time I go, they have tried to do something better for the fans. I mean, look at the graphics on the, you were in Hong Kong, and that entire digital screen that was put up on the first tee, that was so impressive. Yeah. The kind of, infrastructure that they put up for the fans was so impressive.
Well, Rory, in his press conference yesterday at the Players, he was talking about bigger events where there's other things around the events, that it's just not golf, that there's more fan engagement, there's all this other stuff. And there are a lot of people that think that kind of sounds like what Liv tried to do and what everybody was so adamantly against. Do you think that all of this change, regardless of what side you're on, and again, I'll keep saying this, you don't have to pick a side. You can watch and consume your golf.
Yeah, you just have to be a golf fan. That's
wherever
it.
You want to watch
it. You don't have to be a PGA Tour or a Live golf fan. You need to be a golf fan. That's what I keep saying to everyone. You can enjoy PGA Tour as much as you can enjoy Live golf. There is a completely different product over there, and you can absolutely enjoy it. I mean, the telecast of the product is so good, the Live golf. So, yes, what Rory said, and I mean, just to give you an example, Claude, and you have seen it around, all the teams have been asked on Live golf to do sustainability and community outreach programs whenever they go anywhere. And so many communities are benefiting from that. I mean, like, from what I mean, from that, for example, the Ironheads did something at a public golf course in Hong Kong. You know, all the teams do something, you know, with any organizations, charities, those kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if PGA Tour has a lot of charity and, they have, but do they do that many activation in one tournament? I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, 8 to 16 activations, at least in a week.
Listen, I think there's room for both. And I've always thought that, you know, this misconception that the golf on Live isn't good. I mean, you've been to as many golf tournaments as I have. The finishes have been good.
Yeah.
You've been to as many golf tournaments as I have. You've traveled to Asia, you've traveled to the Middle East, you've traveled to Europe. One of the knocks against the Live tournaments from the people that don't like him is there's nobody at it in these tournaments. Listen, I was with Phil in Abu Dhabi when he came over. There was nobody at that tournament. You've been to a lot of tournaments in China and Asia. They don't get the fans that they get in the United States.
Yeah.
There were a lot of European tour. I've been traveling on the European tour since 2002. I've been to more tournaments on the European tour with no fans than I have been with fans. Right? If you ask me over the course of the 20 some odd years that I've traveled on and off the European tour, and I worked full time on the European tour for 3 years, in the 20 some odd years that I've been to European tour events and watched them, I can list more tournaments that didn't have fans than did. So the product all over the place is different. But last week in Hong Kong, again, going back to this idea that one of the knocks have been everybody saying they went to Live to grow the game. I'm not saying that that was 100% true. But last week in Hong Kong, they've never seen that many of the world's best players in one place at any one time. And I think it's been very interesting that Jay's comments at the Players this week is golf is a global game, But the PGA Tour, I mean, what year was it where all four of the WGCs, the World Golf Championship, weren't all four of them in the United States one year?
Well, where are the WGCs to begin
with? They're gone now.
Yeah. And that was one way that the global stars could have been, you know, showcased.
Yep.
So they used to be at least three or four Asian Tour players, three or four Australian players.
Japanese Tour players.
Yeah. Where are the WGCs now?
You know, and that's, Rory's been talking about that in recent months. He's been talking about taking the game, taking the PGA Tour to the... I think what we saw, you know, from a live standpoint in Hong Kong was great. What we saw last year in Adelaide, I mean, if there's a country that's starved for real professional golf, I mean, if Jade Monahan wants a good idea, put a PGA Tour event, a full field PGA Tour event in Sydney or Melbourne, and make it a designated event, and it'd be unbelievable. I mean, it would be, everybody would watch, it would sell out, and is there an argument to be made, one of the positives of LIV is it is maybe going after a more international sector as opposed to just focusing solely on the US and the PGA Tour?
Absolutely. I think what Adelaide, what Hong Kong has shown is that there is so much appetite for the game, you know, globally. It has to go out, if golf has to grow, it has to go out to these parts of the world. And if Rory talks about the global tour and what LIV is already doing, I think if PGA Tour starts doing it, so DP World Tour is coming to Asia for the Asian Swing, you know, I mean, there are going to be a couple of tournaments. You know, if you tell me that somebody like Phachara Kongwatmai from Thailand is not the best Thai player at the moment, or if you say that Anirban Lahiri is not the best Indian player at the moment, and if they don't get into these tournaments, thankfully, Anirban has gotten into the Indian Open, but that is a different... I mean, he is the leading Indian and it's the Indian Open. But other DP World Tour events, they have not really given the opportunity to the local players. And the converse is that when something like this is happening over here, say international series is happening over here, or when it was happening in Oman, DP World Tour was not giving release to the players because there was a concurrent event which was being held on the DP World Tour, even if they are Asian players. So these are some of the things which actually seem very petty to me right now. And these are things that have to be gotten over if you want the game to grow in all parts of the world.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Lastly, Joy, talking about growing the game, India, one of the most populous countries on the planet. Give me your take, because I don't think there's anybody that has their finger on the pulse of Indian golf the way that you do, and you write about it all the time. What do you like about where Indian golf is right now, and what do you think we're going to see in the next 5 years? And give me some players, both on the men's and the women's side, that you think that we're going to be hearing about on a global stage from India in professional golf moving forward.
You know, the thing right now is that the girls are playing phenomenal golf. So, I mean, Aditi Ashok is doing really well on the LPGA Tour. There are a couple of girls, Diksha and, you know, girls like Pranavi, who are doing very well on the LET. The boys have been left a little behind, but then we always have somebody like Anirban to look up to.
Lahiri is playing, I mean, he's playing some of the best golf I've seen him play in a long time. And Anybody that thinks that Anirban Lahiri, if he was playing on the PGA Tour, wouldn't be... you wouldn't see his name on a leaderboard is just crazy, right? I mean, that's the type of player he is. He's got world-class game. This week in Macau, we've got some of the old guard of Indian golf. Jeev Milka Singh, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite people. Shiv Kapoor. But a guy like Anirban, for Bond now, Joy, how important do you think Bond's success, whether you like where he's playing or not, forget all that. Bond's success, how does that play in India for this next generation of young? Because one of the things I think that is really important for growing the game of golf in the developing nations is for that, yes, everybody's hero. If you're a young golfer from Thailand, your hero is Scottie Scheffler. It's John Rahm. It's Rory McIlroy. It's the global superstars. But what I think helps grow golf in the developing nations is for the young golfers to be able to look at, say, okay, he's from, Rory McIlroy, if you're a young golfer in India, you have a hard time relating to him, right? He's from Northern Ireland, he lives in America, right? He plays his golf. But if you can touch and feel a golfer who's from your country or from your city or town where you grew up with, and he was a member at your club, and you got to see, touch, and feel him.
Yeah.
I think those stories for Indian golf on the big stage, with the success that the ladies are having on the LPGA, but on the bigger stage, I think it is hugely important to help grow professional golf in the developing countries to have a superstar that you can say, okay, yeah, I grew up like he did. He grew up like I grew up.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, yeah. So, if I just begin with the professional golfers who are not part of LIV, who are playing on the Asian Tour, who are playing on the PGTI, one of their dreams now is to be part of the LIV golf. I mean, and money is a consideration. Sure. Let me not, try to hide that. Money is the main consideration. I mean, they know that if they are on LIV golf, they can earn a lot of money. So, he has... somebody like Anirban has already influenced his peers. But, you know, I mean, just some of the young kids, I've been speaking to some of the juniors, and everyone wants to be like Anirban Lahiri. I mean, they know that he has come second four times on LIV Golf already. They know that he has won more than $2 million with each of those second place finish.
Yep.
Money is a big factor. And even the young golfers, they are influenced by it. I mean, they want to be like Tiger Woods and win 15 majors, but they also want to be like Tiger Woods and have that kind of villas and look after their families.
Everybody'd like their own jet.
Yeah.
Like Tiger and Rory have. I mean, the funny thing that I think has been so funny through all this, Joy, is if you look at Rory McIlroy, I mean, the two lightning rods over the last, Rory's kind of softened his stance, right, over the last 6 months since the merger talks. He's kind of, he's walked back a little. But for a while, it was Rory and Greg kind of going at each other.
Yeah.
They were the two kind of lightning rods. And I looked at kind of their careers. Yes, Rory's won four majors. Greg's only won two. But everybody looks at Greg Norman's career and thinks he was an underachiever in the majors.
Yeah.
The last time Rory won a major was 2014. If I told you in 24 that Rory would only have four majors, you would not believe me. Yeah. You'd think he would have 10 majors by this point, right? And so when I looked at how many wins they had, I mean, when Rory won in Canada a couple years ago, he referenced, I've got one more win than Greg on the PGA Tour. If you looked at, there was a point last year where the amount of PGA Tour wins and European Tour wins for Greg and Rory were almost kind of identical. They're both seen as the iconic superstars of their generation.
Yeah.
They both dominated professional golf by their driver. They're both currently famous for not being able to get it done at Augusta National, which is a golf course for both Rory and Greg Norman. If you could design golf courses for both of them, those would be the perfect golf courses. And they both have the same make of private jet, right? They both live in West, they both live in the same city, in the same state in America. They both left their home country and their home tours and went. I found it fascinating, for as much as those two butted heads publicly, how eerily similar their careers are. They are the iconic players of their generation, right?
Yeah.
They are the ultimate. You ask anybody currently playing here this week, who do they want to be? They're going to tell you they want to be Rory McIlroy. They want his career. They want his life off the golf course. They want his stature. 20 years ago, you talked to a lot of young players before Tiger came out. Who did they want to be? They wanted to be Greg Norman.
Greg Norman.
He was their star. And I just found it fascinating that as much as those two were kind of going at each other, how similar their careers really were.
Yeah.
Very similar type careers. Just the greatest players of their generation. Icons. And they were going at each other in the press. And I was just like, you two are so close to... to each other, you don't realize it.
That's so true. Now that you pointed it out, I mean, exactly. I think I was a little surprised by Rory's vehement criticism. He didn't criticize Saudi as much as he criticized LIV Golf. But Rory is someone who actually spent a lot of years in the Middle East. And he knows the kind of changes. Yeah. And he has seen the kind of changes and the kind of people you have over there. I mean, Claude, you lived over there in Dubai.
Yep.
Have you? I mean, the Arabs are one of the most hospitable people in the world.
And they love golf.
They love everything that gives them joy. Like, you know, I mean, dune bashing, you know, cars. Yep. They love their stuff. They love people. I don't know why there's so much of... Saudi influence on LIV Golf and things like that. Why should that really matter? I mean, one of the things that I keep telling many of the journalists is, why don't you come to Saudi and just have a look?
Well, I think it's been interesting.
What kind of changes they have made?
Over the last 3 years, Joy, I think it's been interesting that some of the most vehement critics of LIV and the Saudi involvement in professional golf have never been to a tournament.
Yeah.
Will openly tell you they don't watch, and they have such staunch opinions of it. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of the LIV players have spoken so freely about the PGA Tour is they were on the PGA Tour for 20 years. DJ was on the PGA Tour up until he went to LIV for almost 15 years. They know what the PGA Tour is like. They know what that infrastructure is like. They know what that ecosystem is like. And I found it fascinating that a lot of the people that have been so fiercely, fiercely anti-LIV have no involvement at all. They don't talk to anybody. They don't interview anybody in the LIV ecosystem. I mean, I look at a lot of, you know, I think we're starting to see some of the podcasters start to bring in some guys. But for 2 years, all anybody did was basically shit all over LIV, and it was the root of all evil. And they basically lived in their own echo chamber of just we know exactly what it's like. I'm like, how do you know what it's like? You say you don't even watch it. And I hope in 2025, Joy, maybe we get to a point with Rory kind of softening some of the things he's saying. You know, Billy Horschel saying this week, the Players' Championship maybe should, if the majors are inviting players that are from LIV, maybe they could do the same thing if they want the Players' Championship to be seen as the fifth major. If I told you 2 years ago if I told you 2 years ago Billy Horschel was going to be at the Players' Championship in 24 saying maybe Jay should invite LIV players, nobody would believe that. So maybe in 2025, we just get back to what professional football soccer is around the world. Is if you want to watch the Italian league, you watch the Italian league. If you want to watch Spanish, England, wherever, there's great golf being played all over the world.
Absolutely.
There are great players playing all over the world, and regardless of where they're playing and who they're playing against, you know, pre-LIV, if somebody wins four tournaments in Europe, they are getting an invite into Honda, the old Honda. They are getting an invite into Wells Fargo. They are getting an invite into Memorial. They're getting an invite into Tampa. We've seen that. We watched that. I've lived watching that. And maybe we get back to a point in 2025 to where some of the heat and the sting of all of this
is taken away.
Taken out. And we realize that this is just basically what happens in every single walk of life. And I've always thought this, Joy, that there is this contingent of golf fans and people involved in golf that want golf to be this Truman Show type thing that never changes, right? That golf's like it was in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and it's got to be the same.
Yeah.
And it won't change. And I think maybe one of the positives of LIV coming in has made everybody kind of pivot and go, okay, hey, what is the product?
Yeah.
Because I never heard anybody talk about the product before.
Nobody thought that golf could be a five-hour thing. The entire date of a tournament would be a five-hour to six-hour window where it can all be done. I mean, that is important.
Yes.
You don't expect the fan. I mean, obviously, Saturday, Sunday is another matter. But if he wants to come on Thursday, and if he has got 6 hours and comes and watches almost the entire action out there, how good is that?
And do you see that? You think the majors hold the key?
They
do. You think the four majors really do hold the keys to the kingdom more than the tours do right now?
I think they do. Once they start inviting the players, which Masters has set a good precedent by inviting Joaquin, quite a few LIV players have earned their way back into the Open Championship, but if we get majors to give out, at least to start with, two or three invites to the top two, three players on LIV Golf, let's make a start. I mean, these are great golfers. These are golfers who have got not just, you know, history behind them. They have talent. They have the willpower to win.
And they're winning tournaments all over the world.
They are all winners.
Wherever they play, whether they're 72-hole, no regular cut events, if they're, I mean, we're seeing David Puig and Waco and Carlos Ortiz and Dean Burmester and Louis. We're seeing these players go and play all over the world. And it was never a surprise if you saw it wasn't a surprise to go over and see Justin Rose play in Singapore and be on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why players, I think players should have the freedom to play. And play wherever they want. I personally think that's going to help. Joy, these decisions will be made by people a hell of a lot smarter than you and I. But I think you're doing fantastic writing, and keep up the good work. And if you want to know what's going on with Indian golf, Joy is your man. Joy, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Claude. Really enjoyed it.
So I thought that was a very, very interesting perspective, and a different perspective than maybe some of you that listen to the pod have heard. But I thought Joy touched on a lot of really important subjects. And listen, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen in world golf. I think it's all just kind of speculation at this point. But I think Joy's kind of global view and the fact that he has been a globetrotter and writes about golf, not only just on the PGA Tour and on the DP World, but writes about golf in India, writes about golf in Asia. And I thought that was a really, really good one. Want to thank everyone for listening. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.